Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast is adapted from my YouTube channel, and this episode is part of my Vault series, where I'm turning my back catalogue into podcasts. So, if I ever reference photos or things on screen, please remember that these episodes were originally made for video. Also, if research or references seem out of date, please bear in mind as well that some of these episodes were recorded as far back as 2016. I just want to make sure that all of my content is available on podcast as well for you to enjoy. If you wish to find me on YouTube, I am just Georgia Marie over there, and with all my disclaimers out of the way, enjoy the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to my channel for another midweek mystery video where this week we're going to be talking about the disappearance of Leah Roberts. So in March 2000, 23-year-old Leah Roberts told her friends and family that she was going on a road trip and never returned home. Leah was born in 1976 in Durham, North Carolina. As the youngest of three children, she had older sister, Cara, and older brother, Heath. When she hit her teenage years, life started to go a little bit askew for her. When she was just 17, her father was diagnosed with a chronic lung disease and he was very ill. However, despite this, Leah chose to continue with her studies and went to North Carolina State University, where she studied Spanish and anthropology. So she started university in 1995, and just 1 year later, her mum died unexpectedly of heart disease. Of course, she took some time off to grieve her mother and returned to university in the autumn of 1998. However, in the autumn of 1998, she got herself into a horrific car accident. A truck pulled out in front of her and she had no choice but to drive straight into the side of it. She suffered with a punctured lung and she completely destroyed her leg, and she had to have a metal rod inserted into her femur. Now, after the couple of years that Leah had been through, her dad being diagnosed with a chronic lung illness, her mum dying unexpectedly, and then getting into this car accident, you would think that she would kind of give up on life, but she didn't. She saw it as a chance to be born again. She said that she saw her life flash before her eyes in that moment, and then in that moment decided to live life to the fullest from then on. And she did do this. For the summer of 1999, she signed up to a field program that would take her to Costa Rica. However, just 3 weeks before she was due to leave, another tragedy struck Leah and her siblings when their father died of his illness. Despite this, Leah chose to continue with her trip to Costa Rica, and she went out there and apparently had an amazing time. She didn't really ever show any signs of grief and she just kind of got on with it. But I suppose when her dad was ill for so long, it was expected for him to die, and I'm sure maybe at some point Leah and her father had a conversation about her living her life if he did die. Now, just before Leah left the country to go to Costa Rica, she actually gave her sister, Cara, power of attorney over all of her bank accounts, because Leah wasn't going to be in the country anymore and she didn't have any living parents. So she gave the power of attorney to her sister just to look after her accounts while she was away. And not knowing it at the time, this would prove to be very, very helpful when Leah went missing. Leah came back from Costa Rica after having had the time of her life and continued with her studies in Spanish and anthropology at university. She made it halfway through the year, and then with just 6 months to go left of her course before she completely graduated, Leah decided to drop out. This was despite protests from her siblings, who said to her, "You've only got 6 months left, make this count." but she dropped out anyway. She took up some new hobbies. She learned guitar, she took up photography, and she would spend a lot of her time in coffee houses making new friends and talking to people. She also took up poetry and would talk to her friends about how she wanted to take a road trip to the West. This road trip she wanted to take was an emulation of her favourite author, Jack Kerouac, and he had spoken about this kind of soul-searching road trip in a few of his books, and it seems like she wanted to emulate that so she could discover herself. So the morning of March 9th, the year 2000, Leah spoke to her sister Cara on the phone. They were very close and they made plans to see each other soon. They didn't say any specific time or date, but they sort of left it that they would make the effort to visit each other very soon. Leah also spoke to her roommate Nicole, and they made plans together to do some babysitting the following evening. Nicole then went to work and returned home later that day, and Leah wasn't at home. Now, Nicole didn't think this was strange at the time because Leah didn't have a job, she dropped out of university, and she was living off her parents' inheritance money, so she could sort of just come and go as she pleased. Leah's car wasn't there either, but again, Nicole didn't think of this as strange. Maybe she'd just gone out to visit a friend. However, Leah didn't turn up later that night, and she didn't turn up the next day either, and it was only when Leah didn't turn up to the babysitting that she had planned to do with Nicole that Nicole started to worry a little bit, because although Leah did come and go as she pleased, she would always stick to her plans. She also didn't turn up by March 11th when she had plans to see family and friends, and this is when Nicole decided that it was time to call the police. Now, I couldn't find any information really about what the police did with this case. I'm assuming, as with a lot of other cases similar to this, they turned around, said they couldn't do anything. Leah was a 23-year-old woman and she could leave if she wanted to. And I suppose in this case they were kind of right to say that, because it turned out that Leah had left, or it seemed that Leah had left of her own accord. On March 14th, Cara and Nicole decided to search Leah's room to see if they could find any clues as to where she had gone. When they went into her room, they saw that half of her clothes were missing. Leah had also recently got a kitten that she had named Bee, and Bee was also gone. And she had left a bundle of cash, and there was enough cash there to cover her rent and expenses for the next month. There was also a note, and in this note, Leah assured her friends and family that she was okay, she wasn't suicidal, in fact, she was the opposite. And she referenced author Jack Kerouac again. The note also said to give Cara her love. Everything suggested that Leah intended to return, only half her clothes were gone, and there was only a month's worth of rent money there, so they kind of assumed that Leah had gone on this road trip, as her favourite author mentioned in many of his books, and they thought she'd be back. For what it's worth, I think Leah thought she'd be back as well. In the search for her sister, Cara later did a lot of TV interviews, and in a lot of these interviews she referenced the fact that Leah had lost both of her parents, she had dropped out of uni, she felt lost and she was looking for direction, and so she'd taken this soul-searching road trip in search of that. Now, it didn't take Cara long to remember that she still had power of attorney over Leah's bank account, and so could access all of her accounts, and that's what she did. And through looking at her bank accounts, Cara is able to track Leah on her journey. On March 9th, Leah had withdrawn a few thousand dollars from her account, and she had paid for a motel stay in a town near Memphis in Tennessee. She was also purchasing petrol and food on the way, and it seemed like she was heading west on the Interstate 40.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
And then she started to head north on Interstate 5 and she reached California. and she continued north. Just after midnight on March 13th, she made a purchase at a gas station. This was in a place called Brooks in Oregon, and after that, all activity on her account ended. Kara talked with some of Leah's friends, came to the conclusion that she was headed towards the Cascade Mountains in Washington. This was a place of beauty that Jack Kerouac had talked about in one of his novels, The Dharma Bums, and this was one of Leah's favourite novels by him. Time went on and Kara still hadn't heard from Leah, and on March 18th she expected a call from her because that was actually Kara's 26th birthday. However, Kara didn't get a call from Leah, instead she got a call from the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office told her that Leah's car had been found, but not Leah, and the car had been found off a ravine in Mount Brooks in Washington. It was actually found off of Canyon Creek Road. It had rolled off of an embankment into a ravine, and it was quite deep into a woods. This was in Whatcom County, Washington, not too far from the Canadian border, and the car was discovered by a jogger who was running by that morning and saw a load of clothes scattered over the floor. And in curiosity, he looked down over the embankment and saw Leah's car at the bottom. And of course, this is when the police get involved and start to search for Leah. Like I said, Leah's clothes and other personal belongings were scattered all around the site where the car was. It was scattered at the top of the embankment and in the ravine as well. Inside the car were more personal belongings, more clothes. There were blankets hung up and pillows, making it look like somebody had been sleeping in there. There was also about $2,500 cash. There was cat food as well, but no sign of Leah's kitten, Bee. In the car, under one of the floor mats, they also found Leah's ring. And this was a ring that belonged to Leah's late mother, and Leah never ever took this ring off. This is the thing that worried Leah's friends and family the most, because they know how much that ring meant to her, and she wouldn't have taken it off unless she absolutely had to or if she was forced to. I can relate to that. I also wear rings. I have 3 rings on my fingers here. I've worn these for years and I've never ever taken them off my fingers. If I was ever found without these rings, you would probably know that something strange had happened to me. And it was the same with Leah and her ring. She would not have taken off her mother's ring. There was absolutely no blood in the car or any evidence of an attack. It just looked like the car had crashed on its own. The blankets and pillows made it look like somebody had been sleeping in the car, and I think that was probably Leah who had been sleeping in her car, because she'd been driving for a few days, and from what I could gather, she hadn't paid for a motel every night, so it's likely that she was just sleeping in her car occasionally. The fact that all of Leah's personal belongings and $2,500 cash was still left in the car led police to believe that this wasn't going to be a robbery case. And the crash site was strange. It looked as if the car had been travelling about 40 miles per hour when it left the road and went down the steep embankment into the ravine. Signs pointed to the car having rolled over multiple times, but how was there absolutely no blood or any sign of injury inside the car if this was the case? If the car had rolled over, then I'm sure that there would have been some blood. Kara and their brother Heath immediately flew out to Washington to help police with the investigation. And they would interview restaurants, they went around talking to everyone, they printed out missing persons posters and put Leah's face up everywhere. Amongst Leah's belongings in her car, police also found a little box of mementos, things that she had been sort of saving from her trip. Things like receipts and tickets, and one ticket they found was a ticket for a showing of a movie, American Beauty. Now to me, the fact that Leah was keeping this little memento box, saving memories from her trip, shows that she intended to return. She wanted to keep these memories to show to her friends and family when she returned home and say to them, look what I did on this day and that day. That's how I kind of see it anyway. But like I said, there was a ticket stub for the movies in there for American Beauty. It was an afternoon showing on March 13th at Bellingham's Bellis Fair Mall. From this, police deducted that she had been in Brooks, Oregon just after midnight filling up her tank with petrol and then drove 5 to 6 hours through the night, arriving in Bellingham quite early that morning. She probably had time to look around the town and then decided to go to the movies to rest a little bit. Heath and Kara and the police believe that Leah went to a nearby restaurant where she spoke to 2 men. The reports here say that the 2 men sat beside her, so I'm assuming she was sat alone at a bar and she had 1 man either side of her. And they did manage to find these men and interview them and talk to them. And these men say that Leah seemed excited. She was talking about Jack Kerouac and her road trip and everything. Now, one of these men claimed that whilst they were sat at the bar, Leah called out to a man who was sort of by the door, like greeted him by his name, which was Barry, and then went over to him, and the two of them left together. However, the other man that Leah was sat next to, and none of the other customers in the restaurant at that time, recall this man or Leah ever calling out a name. Whilst Heath and Kara are working hard to find their sister, investigators are continuing their own work on the Jeep. From looking at the Jeep, they came to the conclusion that Leah had to have been the victim of a crime. However, police of course wanted to work on every single possible avenue on this case, and so worked on the theory that Leah had got disorientated and wandered into the forest on her own. Maybe she'd hit her head in the crash, became concussed, and started to wander. Now, I personally think that if she had hit her head, there would be some blood, but say there wasn't and she just got lucky, but just hit her head and got concussion. Police spent 2 weeks searching the surrounding forest by foot. They had dogs, they had special cameras, and they even used helicopters, and never found any trace of her. The investigation continued for many months and Leah's body was never found, and so the investigation began to die down a little bit. However, Kara requested that the police hold on to Leah's Jeep just in case the inquiry ever reopens and they need it for evidence, and so the police did, and this turned out to be a fantastic decision on Kara's part because 6 years later this came through for her. In 2006, the lead detective on Leah's case was passing down a few files to some newer detectives, and one of these files that he passed down was the file of Leah Robinson. Now, the two new detectives jumped on this case and read through the report, realising that a lot of the evidence wasn't fully processed at the time. They soon realised that the investigators at the time did a really bad job of processing the car, and so decided to finish the job for themselves. They noticed that strangely, no one had ever thought to look underneath the Jeep's hood. And so they did this. They found that one of the wires, the starter relay, had been cut, and this wire being cut meant that the car could actually accelerate without having a foot on the pedal. Now, remember me saying earlier that it seemed like the car had just rolled off the cliff on its own?
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings, you look for deals, you wrote out a budget once, a long time ago, you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Now they had solid proof that this is probably what had actually happened. From this, they've deduced that the crash scene was likely staged and therefore used as a distraction for the police. They also found more DNA evidence that had never been processed at the time. They found male DNA on Leah's clothes and in the car, and they also found a male fingerprint under the hood of the car, and they've never been able to identify who this DNA belongs to. I remember me earlier talking about this guy, Barry, that a witness had seen Leah leaving with at the restaurant. There's a blog post online about Leah's case, and one of the comments on this blog post is by a guy who's called Guy Number Two. This guy on the comment is claiming to be the witness that saw Leah leaving with this man that day. Now, of course, we've got no proof to prove that this is actually the guy, but from reading it and from a lot of other people's general consensus online, it does seem like this could actually be the guy that saw Leah leave. The basic gist of the comment is this guy saying that he was interviewed by police for 12 hours about this sighting. He did 2 lie detector tests and he was pretty much vilified by the police and by the media at the time, who just said he was lying and therefore he had something to do with Leah's disappearance. A lot of articles I've read about this case, about this witness, who we're going to call Guy Number Two because that's what he's called himself in this comment. They say that Guy Number Two fled to Canada and therefore he is definitely guilty. Now, assuming this comment is true, and I will link it down below if you want to go and read it, it'll be the top comment on the blog post. It turns out this guy was actually Canadian. He lived in Canada and he was only in Bellingham visiting his two sons. Now, I said earlier that Bellingham was only a few miles away from the Canadian border, and therefore it wasn't a big trip for him to go down there and visit his son. He said that since this incident happened, and he's one of the lead witnesses in this case, he has never been able to go back to Bellingham to visit his son because he fears arrest by the American police. Now, we don't know if this is true or not. Read the comment, decide for yourself. I do think it comes across as very genuine. This guy has actual annoyance over how his life has been affected because he sat next to this girl in a restaurant one day. However, this guy, Guy 2, has provided his DNA and his prints to the police, and his prints do not at all match the prints or the DNA found in Leah's car. So it seems like he's in the clear. However, police have apparently refused to dispose of his DNA, even though he's requested that they do many, many times. Now let's talk about some theories, throw some ideas out there. Now to me, if it wasn't for the car, it would seem like Leah had been murdered in cold blood. Maybe somebody grabbed her off the street and killed her. However, if this was the case, then how would the person know about Leah's car? Unless it was just a crazy coincidence and maybe Leah left her handbrake off and therefore the car rolled. In this very, very obscure place, by the way, it's not the kind of place that you would leave a car parked. This seems more calculated to me. This seems like somebody has planned what they're going to do to Leah. They've planned to use the car either as a distraction to the police or to make it look like Leah had died in a car crash. The fact that these wires were tampered with shows that somebody has done this on purpose. Maybe they did use the car as a distraction to the police. Or on the other side of the coin, it's why draw more attention to the fact that Leah's missing by crashing the car in the first place. If Leah's car wasn't found, then it could have been many, many weeks before anybody actually really started to panic about Leah. Maybe Leah did leave the restaurant with a man named Barry that day and he's the one that harmed her. Or maybe guy number two is lying and he was the one who harmed Leah but came up with a kind of alibi. It's not really the right word for it, but maybe he said that he saw Leah with somebody else to put himself in the clear. But it just seems like a bit of a silly lie to tell. Why say this? Well, you can just say nothing. You just say, oh, Leah just left that day. It's also important to explore the possibility that maybe Leah did just crash the car that day, maybe lost control of the car on the road, even though there were no skid marks or tyre marks that would suggest this. Maybe she did just lose control, went off the side of the embankment, got lucky and didn't injure herself, apart from a big bang to the head, and started to wander through the woods, very confused, not sure what's happened to her, and then she's died of exposure, or maybe she starved to death or got attacked by animals. Personally, I believe if this was the case, then Leah's remains would likely have been found by now, especially because that metal rod that would have been in her femur from the car accident she had in 1998 will never decompose, that will never disappear, that's always going to be there. So I think she likely would have been found by now, but hey, I have done multiple cases where it's likely that the person has just been hidden by nature, and maybe that is what's happened to Leah. There was actually a reported sighting of Leah just a few days after her car was found. A man called the sheriff's office and reported that his wife had seen Leah walking disorientated and confused. She'd been wandering around a gas station close to Everett in Seattle. However, then this man seemed to panic and he hung up the phone before identifying himself. Now, this isn't the most credible witness sighting that you're ever going to hear. In fact, it would kind of be completely uncredible. But police did take this seriously, because if this was true, then this would have been the last ever sighting of Leah, and it would lend a hand to the theory that she had banged her head and got in a confused state and wandered off. It was also possible that as Leah had had a very hard couple of years, maybe she had a mental break. I do find it strange that in Leah's note before she left, she specified that she was not suicidal. And unless she'd had that conversation with friends and family before she disappeared about how she wasn't suicidal or that maybe she was, I find it strange that she would reference that in the letter at all. The fact that she's even referenced suicide in the letter is very strange and leads me to believe that perhaps she was suicidal and she was struggling a lot more than she was letting on. There are kind of two theories here. Maybe she did go on this road trip, have a mental break and sort of lose her mind, wandered off, maybe she has amnesia or something, and she's just never been found, whether she has started to lead a new life or she was exposed to the elements and died. Or maybe she did commit suicide and cut the wire in her own car to make it look like something else had happened and they've just never found her body. It's also possible that she did all this so she could start a complete new life. I don't find this that believable because she was very close to her sister and her brother, and I don't think she would want to disappear and hurt them all over again after they just lost both their parents. But maybe she just had enough and decided to lead a new life, or maybe she'd started this road trip as a soul-searching experience and met somebody on the way, maybe the male travel companion whose DNA was all over her car. Although I think it's an important side note here to say that the police do not think that the DNA of the male they found in the car was actually somebody that was travelling with her. They think it was just somebody who maybe touched some of her things and wasn't with her the entire trip. So maybe she just decided to go off the grid. I suppose back in the year 2000, this would have been a lot easier to do than it would be now. But I do think if she did decide to go off the grid back in 2000...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It's now 2018, it's 18 years later, and social media is a thing, and I refuse to believe that nobody has recognised her in this time. At the end of the day, Leah was a really, really beautiful young woman, a free spirit who was travelling on her own, and therefore an easy target for predators. She didn't tell anyone where she was going, she had no access to internet or a mobile phone as you would do these days. She was out in the open and kind of free for anyone to attack if they wished to. I don't know if it was somebody she picked up on the way or if it was just a moment of sheer chance and opportunity for someone, but I do believe that there was foul play involved and I do think that Leah was attacked or hurt by someone. I feel like I've mentioned about a million different theories, a million different things here that could have happened to Leah, but this case honestly has me stumped. I do think she was hurt by somebody, but I couldn't tell you who, I couldn't tell you why, I couldn't tell you when or where. But I think her body is probably buried somewhere. I hope that one day she is found. I would love her to be found alive. And maybe she just needed a clean break after everything that had happened to her. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Mysteries and Histories. If you have a bit of time, I would love for you to go and leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast and spread the word. It would be much appreciated. I'll see you next week.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.